Lord, we will desire to be in your presence. Lord, we confess that there are other things that our heart yearns for. There are many husbands. There are many idols. There are many sovereigns, many potentates, many dominions. And we see the devil saying, I will arise and I will sit over Zion. And I will rule and reign. Lord, we come to you. We know and we see that we are in the midst of this battle. I award says, except you intervene, that no flesh shall be saved. Lord, we ask for your intervention. We ask you to intervene in our hearts. Intervene in our hearts. Lord, that you will bring us to that place where there will not be any other temple.
Amen.
That you will be the only temple in this city. You will be the only Lord. That only you will be worshipped. That every other idol will be judged.
Yes, Lord.
That you will be the only Lord. Lord, we desire to come to this place. And we see many deceptions. We see many things working. And we say we are not sufficient for this thing. Because you are our sufficient.
Amen.
We pray that the living word of God will come to us. That this bread will be broken. That our eyes might be opened. That we might be given understanding. That we might be given knowledge. That wisdom, even that principle, spirit of a bride, will be shed out upon us.
Amen.
Lord, let there be bread for the eater.
Amen.
Abundant bread. Let there be a feast for the eater.
Yes.
And let there be seed for the sower.
Amen.
And Lord, let your rain come upon it.
Amen.
Let there be a watering.
Amen.
Lord, that this world will be made real at various levels, O God.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, Lord. We ask for the power of the Spirit to quicken us, quicken your word, quicken our hearts, quicken this environment, O God. That the arrow of the king will be sharp in the heart of the king's enemy. Lord, that in the name of Jesus, we proclaim that we have the victory.
Yeah.
Right. We say victory, O God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
When we were singing that song, I was hearing an invitation. Invitation into, I would say an invitation to the Holy Place Church. To come to the holiest of all. I understand that Brother Martin is going to come after this session. We will still come back to the tabernacle, so we're going to be doing two sessions, this one, and then Brother Martin will have another time, maybe in the evening session, to go into more business. I just have a little burden. I want to talk about the holiest of all. I want to talk about the cherubims. And I want to talk about that mercy seat. And I want to talk about the head. We'll talk about the head. So this is the box. This is the ark. So this is the dimension of the ark. So the ark was a square, and the ark had the cherubim. There's a scripture in Exodus. Scripture that in the Exodus that says that when Moses came into the holy place, he heard a voice speaking to him from between the two wings of the cherubim.
Yes.
Remember that scripture? And there's another scripture that says in Exodus, I think it's 25, somewhere in 25, where God said, he told Moses to come, that I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. So this is the wings of the cherubim here. And this is the meeting place of God and man. Now, where God meets with man, what is that place? Is it not that altar? Is it not so? So this is the altar. This thing is a dustbin. In the English we say it's a dustbin. So that will cover you with this place, so you won't be laughing at us. Okay? This is just for dustbin. Carry weight. This is not the altar. There's nothing holy here. Amen. Now, the altar is speaking of a condition inside your heart. It's speaking of a situation in your soul. Now, the church has labored to make us have what they call the church mentality. Now, that church mentality is when you look at a physical situation and you say it is holy. But the real holy thing is made common. You know, and that is one of the things that if you want, well, let me not say if you, because you may not understand. If I want to overcome, it's one of the things I have to change. That, you know, because someone is saying all these things you are saying, how do you make it practical? So the first place of victory is to know that you are the tabernacle. You are the temple. So anything God is speaking, it is begins from you. It's not external. So that's the first place of application. Alright? Now, if you understand that, it's going to affect. I can't wear any kind of dress. I can't go to any kind of place. I can't see any kind of thing, because this is the temple of, this is the holy temple of the Lord. So I'm not going to just take my eyes to see any, by the way, when I look at those things, demons are, they want expression in my soul. So through the openings of my body, through my eyes, through my ears, through those senses, the five senses, spirits are coming in. I wish you can see the activity of this, of the human person. I wish you can see what happens to you. You know, and those who move in the prophetic, they will tell you, you know, the kind of things that happen. And that's the scripture I want to look at in Ezekiel chapter 1. The nature of the soul is the nature of light, or darkness. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel 1. We're trying to see how can we make this practical. How can we apply it in our daily experience? When God talks about the holiness of all, that is English language. How does it affect me in my day-to-day life? Verse 14 of Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1 talks about the living creatures, the cherubim. Okay, and it says, and the living creatures ran and returned at the appearance of a flash of lightning. Do you ever read the scripture where it said there was thundering and lightning and earthquake? And what do you think he's talking of? You see Hollywood, they're showing a film. Now, the films they make, they show the people flying and returning. You think those things are just they're playing with you? Or they show a man with, they call it lactan. Have you seen that film before? Lactan or lectan. That is the time. They show the man, and there is a lamp in his soul, and light is going out. What do you think they're telling you?
Yes.
The Bible says that the children of this world are wiser in their generation.
Yes.
So the scripture says that you are light. You and I will have the nature of light.
Amen.
That is basic. If you want to overcome, you have to understand that you have a nature of light. As a matter of fact, you have the nature of the sun within you. Now, the sun has the ability, it doesn't need a light. Okay? But look at the scripture, it says that the spirit of man is what?
Lamp of God.
Can be lightened. That means the energy level in your spirit can be graduated by the spirit of God. That's what that scripture means. The energy level in you can go higher and higher and higher. The more the light in your spirit, the more your soul will be affected, and before long your body is affected, and the whole thing, spirit, soul and body, you become a flame of fire.
Amen.
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 Now, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire, isn't it also? Is that in your Bible? How do you think fire is going to dwell in you? Oh my God. He said, God, the Holy Ghost dwell in me. God, come and dwell in me. He has said, fire, come and dwell in me.
Oh.
Can fire dwell in the midst of ordinary wood? Amen.
Yeah.
When the fire comes, it's going to burn away everything.
Yeah.
To the point where there's nothing more to burn.
Yeah.
And then you become a flaming fire.
Yeah.
Your nature becomes the nature of fire.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And on Thursday, I was sharing about the word Saraph.
What's the English word?
This is a Hebrew word.
What is the English word?
My brother, that's my problem. That's why I can't talk about it too much. That's my problem. This is the Hebrew word. It means Saraph. It means burning. The English means burning. And this is what happens at the brazen altar, the place of, you know, yeah, that he said the sacrifice must be made by fire. Any sacrifice that's not made by fire, God is not of God. God cannot receive it. In other words, the sacrifice is approved by fire. And at the latter end, the nature of that offering must become itself fire. And that's what the Bible calls the baptism of fire. I don't know if you are with me. You see, God is bringing us, is inviting us to come. He says, within the veil, I want to come. I don't know if you understand what you are thinking.
Yeah.
You are saying that you are moving on. You are coming to him that is fire. And you are going to be the dwelling place of him that is fire. In other words, your nature is going to be changed to a nature of light. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to put on the nature of light. I say, we all, with our open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory, you know, after that image. So the first thing I'm saying, brethren, is that the nature of the soul is the nature of light or darkness. We're not yet in the fire. We're not yet in the place of light. But that is a call. That is where God is asking us to go. Now, how do we go there practically? How do we relate to it practically? How do we do it? Now, the cherubims were there, but you know, the soul has four natures. There are four natures: the will, the mind, the emotions, the desire, okay, that's it. Now, the soul has a starting point. The starting point of the soul is outside the tabernacle. in Egypt. So the soul must make its way into the kingdom of God, into the, to come to that brazen altar. And then it must move to the brazen laver, the place of consecration. Alright. Now, the brazen, that place, is, well, it's a reception. It's a place of judgment. It's a place of covenant. You know, you come into a building and ask you, who do you want to see? I want to see Brother Tokumbo. He's leaving his office is inside. They give you a card, then you can go in. That's what the brazen altar is supposed to do. You have come in, you have been functioning. Now, the soul has always been a priest, will ever be a priest. Your soul cannot do anything but be a priest, but give life or receive life. As a doctor, I am a priest. This one is a lawyer, he's a priest. This one is not even a lawyer, he's a priest. Everything you do is offering. Every activity and the culture of a people is worship.
That's right.
Now, what is culture? Culture means the totality of your lifestyle. You know so? Lifestyle is culture and it is worship. Lifestyle speaks of the activities of the soul. Okay? Now, when you meet people from Kenya, they behave in a particular way. That is the activity of their soul. So, after some time, you say this is their culture. The English people have the way they greet you, the way they talk to you. That is their own culture. And I talk to you out of my mannerism. So when you are talking about worship, you are talking of culture. And culture is speaking about the activities of the soul, your mindset. Is it not so? If a frog jumps 1, 2, 3 and goes out, some people in this room will go home. They will call people in the village, say, is there any problem in the village? Is that not so? That's what I mean now. Is it not so? If a frog jumps out 1, 2, 3 and goes out, particularly if it's a black frog. They will call somebody in the village and say, is there a problem in the village? Why? I said, so the things you do because of mindset. And that is the soul. That is the worship. Now, so the devil, what he has done is to make us think that the mind has something to do with worship. Worship is when you come and you raise your hand. Lord, I love you. Yeah, I love you. That is worship. In fact, that is the last thing about worship. The last thing about worship is all that those things you are doing and I do. Worship is the activity, the all the things that happen within me. That is worship. That is what counts in the heavens.
Right.
And that's what heaven measures as worship. So God says, man deals on the outward. I, the Lord, I deal on the inward part. So God looks at a woman comes, brings one farthing. The other one has brought a cow. God says, forget the cow. Go for the farthing. Why? He's looking at the heart. Now, these are the things that have not been emphasized to us. And even we end-time people, we are already caught up in it. We are beginning to lose our metal. We are losing the thing. You know, in fact, this is where God called us to come forward. So God is calling the people to the place of all Israel. A people that must come to the experience of this living creature. Now, the scripture says that God dwells between the cherubims. That's where God dwells. Now, what are the cherubims? The cherubims speak of the four natures of the soul. So that is God's house. Well, it's not only God that wants that house. Another person says, I will have the same house. Okay? So Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 58 says, he says, I will be like the Most High. So that's a problem. That's a crisis. So it's not just not saying that you are going to die, me and you will just stroll and go. There is somebody who doesn't want me to go. As a matter of fact, when I was born, there was someone already dwelling in between the wings of cherubim. And that's the devil. But the devil has not made himself manifest to me. He's telling me that there's nothing like God. He says he's playing all kinds of things, you know, all kinds of deceptions are going on within me to make me say there's nothing like devil. The devil is a myth. Have you seen the devil before? There's nothing like devil. Just enjoy yourself. Be a doctor, be the best doctor you can, and do everything. You work for humanity, you do all those things, and you die and go, and you leave a legacy, your children will take it and all that. Why that is going on, he is sitting, demanding worship as God. And not just that, he is propagating himself. So what we are saying, brethren, is that the soul of man is the center of the focus.
Yes.
From beginning, man has been placed. To the very end. And the scripture, what is the scripture? Jesus is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And this Jesus has been the priest even before the temple and all the covenants. Before that, there was a priesthood already. The Bible said that the lamb was slain from the foundation. So, if there is a sacrifice, there must have been an altar. There must have been a priest that made the sacrifice, you know, so. And that is the order and of ministry that we're speaking of. That there is a ministry that has been of old.
Yes.
It is not heaven-like ministries. It is not the sunshine ministry. It is not the, Abbey Road Fellowship. There has been a ministry from the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
And that ministry is the ministry of the soul. Because he says that his ministry without father and without mother, without the beginning of years and without the end, it is something of the spirit. So we're speaking of the aspects and things that are not physical, that are spiritual. And this thing we're speaking of is within. It says the kingdom of God is coming within you. So we're speaking of dominion and aspects of things that relate to you, to something that's happening within you. And my overcoming is the overcoming of these activities that are taking place within me. Now let's look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, it's a very interesting scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 is actually a continuation of chapter 2 or chapter 3. But someone divided it up. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has done what?
Has blinded
the mind. Do you see why the devil wants the head of Saul? Okay, Saul is not here. So let's leave Saul alone. Who is it that is here?
Me.
Okay, me. Why is the devil interested in my head? If he gets my head, what will the devil do with my head? He will decorate it, put a crown on it, and paint it very well. Even that one gets his own problem. But what will the devil do? He will blind the mind. The devil is darkness. He cannot bring light to me. So the effect of darkness, the effect of what the devil is doing is to bring a blindness. And the Bible says that he has blinded the minds of them that do not believe. What does this mean? When a soul is brought into the world, all the senses of the soul, what has happened to it, they are blinded. Now, what that means, see, when you speak of the senses, there was something that God showed me. I don't have time to draw it. But you see, the senses, they relate to the different dimensions. As I have eyes to see, that is how the soul has the eyes of understanding, has a perception, ability to see God, to see into the realms of the spirit. to hear God, to hear the voice of God. That's why you are even given a spirit to begin with.
Yes.
When Boma wanted to marry Pauline, one of the things he did was to give her his phone number. Oh, yeah, I say you didn't do that directly. Amen. God wants to marry you. He has given you his spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He wants to talk to you. And he wants him, you, to talk. That's why he gives you his nature. He gives you an ability to hear him. But the thing is that when man was born into the world, this ability is taken away. It's dead. That's what the Bible means, that he has blinded the minds of those. So here is the man. God is with him, and he cannot hear God. God was calling Samuel. He ran to Eli. Said, "Did you call me? Why?"
But
he senses are dead. He can't see God. He can't hear God. A man is looking at God, is not excited at God. Somebody say, what is exciting you is to go and watch a movie. What's the other one? Skyfall. That is football or all those things are more interesting than knowing God. The only way to describe it is that the soul is blind. The soul is dead. It's unresponsive to God. Hallelujah. That is, we are unresponsive. You know, it's like you pour hot water on someone and you say, "What is it? What are you doing to me?" Yes, you cannot feel God. And that is what the devil, that's what happened to the soul of man, to man. So God has to wake us up. He's trying to wake up. Say, "Wake up, come away. Come, my beloved. Wake up." Say, "The summer is gone. The winter is even gone, and we are still sleeping."
Yeah.
There is an awakening. We need to awake.
Amen.
Say, "Father, awaken me." But you know, we were singing that song. You know, "Hear me, oh God." I didn't hear a cry. We were just singing song. I didn't hear a heart cry. Well, I'm not talking about you. I didn't hear a heart cry from me to God. I know I was not crying. That's why I prayed that prayer. Were you crying? Were you really crying for God? "Hear me, oh God, hear my pleading." Are you really yearning for God? If they drop £1 million here now, you will know whether you are crying for God or not. £1 million, Bawa. You will know. You will choose. And after this meeting, it will come. You have choices. And those choices, you will make. God will say, "Fine, you hear me, oh Lord, no problem. You go out." You know. So the thing is that we have not chosen God. We are not desiring God. And the reason is because the mind has been blinded. Our senses, our perception. Knowledge means ability to perceive, to receive that which is of God. That's what knowledge means. In fact, knowledge, understanding means ability to discriminate. That is, you have received something and you're able to differentiate one from the other. To say, "This is a boy and this is a girl." Okay? "This is darkness and this is light. This is precious. This is vile." And then when you come in the spirit, you'll be able to have an order, to see the order of God. Hallelujah. You know, to know the things that God wants you to do, this is not what God wants you to do. Then evil is coming to you. Temptation is coming to you, you walk right into it. The reason why we are not overcoming is because we are blind spiritually. We cannot sense. The Bible says that the righteous man will see evil from far and rebuke it.
Amen.
I don't have that. So I know that there's a problem within my soul. Because the soul has fallen. The soul is blind. But you see, God says, "I will dwell within the cherubim." And then that these cherubims are full of eyes. So it means somebody is going to go there. And I'm asking myself, will I be among those people? You know, like Rabot asked God, said there were 8 souls in the time of Noah. And he said, Lord, will I be among those people? You know, so there are silver moments for us. You know, and you know, it's like God is giving every one of us an opportunity to determine what we want, where we are going to. You know, so what we are being called to is something that is very, very practical. We are talking about this song that is to bring offering to God. That as of nature, it is blinded. You know, it's not able to, it's like you get a dead man, you get a dead body. He cannot hear you, he cannot do anything, he cannot communicate, there's no communication. You know, so the first thing, if you want to communicate, the first of all, it has to be living. And that is why the blood of Jesus comes into the soul. The blood of Jesus, the life of God must come into the soul. So there's no way somebody can be born again except he receives his blood. Because the life of God is in the blood. That's why the blood of Jesus, it's not a talisman, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has a life of God.
Oh, yeah.
And that life of God is a light of God.
Amen.
So when that life comes, he quickens, say he is the true light that enlighteneth every soul that has come into the world. The soul comes into the world in darkness.
Yes.
Bare, unclean, uncovered, infested with spirits.
Yeah.
When the light of God comes.
Oh,
and somebody says, because the light of God has come, I have not in heaven. Can you be in heaven? Has the nature been changed?
No.
The nature, that nature of blindness must be changed.
Amen.
That's why it says, I will make a new covenant.
Hallelujah.
I will put my law in the inward part. That mind, remember, the mind is in several dimensions. The loins of the mind, the realms of your consciousness, not to even talk about your consciousness. The things you know cannot be compared with the things you do not know. You have just eaten food. Do you know the war taking place in your stomach? Do you know what is happening in your tummy?
No.
If God shows you, you will not eat again. There are all kinds of chemical activities. You are not conscious of it. Let that take place. Hallelujah. Say amen. That taking place within you. And God will not give it to you because it's like when you start feeling your heart beat, you know there's a problem. Because you're not supposed to feel your heart beat. But it's beating. Every minute, your heart is beating. There are things happening, and you are not conscious because it is at the subconscious level. But there's a lot of activity. So also when men sleep, a lot of activity is going on. Now, that is the realm where the devil has had dominion. That is where he has had dominion. So when they took the head of Saul, they took him into the house of Dagon.
Oh yes.
They took him to the house of Ashtaroth. Now Ashtaroth was a practice that was predominant, you find in every culture by different names. You know, by different names. Dagon was a fish god.
Yeah.
But in a place it was half god, half man, half fish. Alright, so that most people can relate to. You call it the Bami water spirit, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's that. Okay. But you see, that was not the issue. The issue was the procreation, was the fertility. Okay, and the seat of the mind, the loins of the mind, the ability to bring forth life, and also the ability to bring forth darkness. Now, there's no way you can bring forth life if the loins do not have strength. The loins speak of strength. Do you remember the scripture that said there was something that said his strength is in his loins? Do you know that? Do you know there's a scripture that said that his strength is in his loins? Do you know Behemoth?
No.
Behemoth.
Say that his strength is in his loins. The loins speak of strength. There's no way you can bring four children if the loins are not strong, are not healthy, do not have vitality. The loins speak of vitality, life. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that the devil has already blinded the mind. You know what? There is a disease, there is something, there is a problem. And that is what the blood of Jesus is meant to address. So the blood of Jesus comes into the soul and is applied in the old tabernacle and was applied at the four corners. Speaking of the judgment of the four natures. And then the life of God comes into the soul. But you see, that soul is not changed. It just received the life of God. Mm-hmm. There is still the self-life, different from the sin life. Sin has been judged, no problem. But how about the nature? The soul has fallen. The soul, the head of the soul is the mind. It's the highest dimension. It is like the ego. Alright? It's supposed to be the leading part. But the mind has fallen and is now being ruled by the emotions. I don't know if you get the trend. The mind is supposed to be the head part of the soul. The mind has fallen and is now being dominioned over by emotions and desire. So the two of them, emotions and the desire, is what they call passion. Is it not so?
Yeah.
So the passions are now the head of the soul. The God cannot talk with you through your passions. So in other words, you cannot relate with God. So that's why when some people say they're worshiping God, they're feeling good. Feeling good is not worshiping God.
Yes, sir.
You worship God with your mind.
Yes.
So it's not the rhythm of the song that makes you good. That's what the devil has given the church. Contemporary song is sweet, 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 sweet. Where is the mind? The mind is here in the house of Dagon. And the body is wriggling around.
The house of the serpent.
Our mind must be liberated. Worship is with the mind. You must think of the song. And as you begin to open your mind, the Spirit of God cannot come to you through your emotions. There is the east gate. The east gate is the mind. He said that gate is for the Lord.
Amen.
No man is supposed to go through the east gate.
Hallelujah.
So, worship means you bring your mind, mentality, approach, attitude. Say, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So, if you want to overcome, if you want to please God, your mind. And that is the word of God. The word of God brings your mind in tune. So he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Now, the word of God is not ink or white paper. But you can start there. So there is the written word of God, which itself is a blessing. There is the spoken word of God, which is a greater blessing. But there is the real blessing, the living word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that word comes to you.
Amen.
It comes to you. The word of God comes to you. Whether you are eating or sleeping, the word of God comes to you and begins to feed you. And the word of God is in our midst. And that revelation has been growing. And that is the ministry that he's bringing to us, the ministry of the Spirit. But you see, the soul must have life. The nature of the soul must be changed. And the only thing that can change that nature is Christ. The ministry of Christ. It's not Bible study. Read Bible and come and say, no. It's the ministry, the voice. He said that when those who are in the grave hear the voice, they will rise.
Amen.
The voice of the Son of Man. And that voice is only controlled by the Lord himself. He will speak. And when you hear the voice of God, you know. I'm sure you don't want to hear my voice. I'm tired of hearing I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Because that's what will bring change. How do you know a man hears the voice of God? Because there will be change. Because the entrance of the word into the soul will change the soul. He said the word of God, it converted the soul.
Yeah.
So the soul must be converted. And it's only the word of God that can convert the soul. The only thing that can convert the soul is the spirit. He said, we all, with our open face, you know, so, beholding are changed.
Yeah.
So that when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be broken. The Lord is that spirit.
Amen.
So the spirit of God is able to change the soul. The word of God can change the soul. And then he says, I'll give you the blood, because the blood is to atone for the soul.
Amen.
So these are the three elements that change the soul. The word. The word, the blood, and then the spirit. And those are the three things you find in the holy place. The lampstand, the shewbread, that's the word and the spirit. They bring the soul to the point of offering. Because God says, I am waiting for the soul. I will dwell between the wings of the cherubim. Emmanuel must be a personal experience. God in me. And God in me manifest as God in us. When many of us are carrying God, are carrying the glory of God, then that glory begins to grow on the earth. God doesn't have a problem with the earth. He has a problem with the people. Are there people who want to carry this glory? You carry the glory on not on the card, but on the shoulder. You know, it's a seat of submission. It's a seat of dying. It's a seat of so many things, so many issues. You know, so the soul by the New Testament must be changed. The soul nature must be changed.
Amen.
So it's not just to say end time. That is an English word. God is looking for a bride. He's looking for a soul who says, I must be changed. That is the name of the game. Soul change is the name of the game. The New Testament is the salvation of the mind. Says the consciousness. Say, I will put my law in the inward part. That means my lifestyle must change. My lifestyle. And it brings it down. My way of life. My way of life is very much my culture. Somebody says, no, what I wear is not important. Really? What I eat is not important. Where I go is not important. Really? What is again? The car I drive is not important. Really? Everything you do is important. Because you are a priest.
Man.
Everything about you is worship. But we have not so learned. We have two lives. My life in the office is different. Then I have my Christian life, which is on Sunday and Wednesday. Which other day do I have Christian life?
Friday.
After that, my life has. Then when I go to work on Monday, that is my work life as a doctor.
Cool.
I see patients. Then when I get home, I say, yeah, I'm a Christian. It happens to me. I leave my house, I have forgotten I'm a Christian. It's the minute that I go to my house, say, yeah, I've got my scripture today. Yes, I'm not a Christian. That, I'm just telling about myself. And I find that I'm just floating. My legs are not on the ground. Why is it that as I go out, I don't know where I am? Situations of life have dominion over my mind. What is it telling you? That the mind is falling. We do not have dominion. And the church does not want to address it. Hallelujah. God is looking for a bride. And he said, I will dwell between the cherubim. The mind must rise. The mind must be resurrected from the house of Dagon. Dagon speaks of sensuousness, sensuality. You know, sensuality. The whole world is being turned into Dagon worship. I don't know if you understand.
Oh, yeah.
The plan of the devil The plan of the devil is to turn the whole world into an orgy.
Yes.
The dresses you should wear in your bedroom, those are the dresses you wear on the street.
Yeah.
And thank God for tights. Tights have made it very easy to wear bedroom dresses on high street. Tights. Hey, brother, you wear tights, then you can wear the like. Yes, I'm wearing tights. Brother, you know I'm wearing tights. I'm very tired. The dress is here, and we are walking around. It's there gone. I won't tell you where I have seen the tight. I won't tell you where I have seen the tight. Because if I talk now, you say you have talked again. Tight. It's the homosexual spirit. It's right in the pulpit. The homosexual spirit is in the pulpit. The church has lost the battle, but not the rich church. The rich church has not lost the battle. Homosexuality in the church. And it is running wild. And who dare talk about it? Hallelujah. Nobody saying amen. Nobody saying amen now.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Culture is worship. And the head of Dagon is of Saul is in the house of Dagon. So what is he saying? Why was it that the problem of the Israelite was Baal worship?
Yeah.
After 30 years, they got to bring a deliverer. Immediately the man dies, what happens? Baal worship. Then they bring another one. They bring this after some time. Baal worship. Because the head has not been addressed. And that is our problem. Individually. That is our problem. Okay, that's my problem. Hallelujah. And God is saying, I must dwell between the wings of the cherubim. The soul must be delivered. And the soul must come to the holiest of all. It's the experience of my mind. It's the experience of my emotions. It's the experience of my desire. It must come, go through the washing. It must go through the consecration of the blazing of brazen laver. It must come to the place of anointing. It must come to the place of the table. It must come to the place of the offering. There must be the offering of the soul. What are you offering? You are offering Father's house. You are offering tribe. You are offering nation. Those are things that are there in the spirit, they're in the soul. How dare you call yourself a Nigerian? It is an insult to you to say you are American. Do you know who you are? You are created as an eternal being.
Amen.
When God made you, there was nothing like Nigeria and the Tusugo.
Amen.
You understand? The Lord has been our dwelling place.
Hallelujah.
We came from God and we're going back to God. How dare me call myself a Nigerian? Or you say, yes, it is an insult. I pray God opens their eyes to see. God is ready. Man is beyond all this. It's the devil that has brought us down and you bind ourselves into this dimension. So God is calling for a people that will rise. That will rise and move forward. The problem of the soul is that the soul has been blinded. And that's the scripture we are reading here. Say that the God of this world has blinded. Now, there's a principle in scripture that says, you cannot enter the house of a strong man and destroy his goods without binding the strong man. And another law of warfare says, you cannot bind the spirit you worship. Those are laws of warfare.
Amen.
You want to bind the spirit, stop worshiping it. When the Indian people wanted independence, the first thing they did was to burn British clothes. Came. Indira, Mahatma Gandhi didn't also bring all your suits, they burnt it. They started wearing Indian cotton. That was the first sign of independence. I won't tell you what the Americans did. British man has small house, American has big house.
Yeah.
Small street, Big Street. The fair labor, L-A-B-O-U-R. It's fine. Our own is L-A-B-O-R. I'm not kidding you. They sat down. Designed. Designed. It was designed. They changed the lifestyle. We Christian people, we say we want to get freedom from the devil. And we are using the articles of the devil. If we want to be delivered, we must come out from Babylon.
Amen.
We must come out from the house of Dagon.
Yes.
Then now, we love the pleasure of Dagon. The high places. Before Moses knew what was happening, all the young men were going to Kolakona, and they were going to the house, to the high places, because there were prostitutes. They call it sacramental fornication. They are both male and female. By the way, I see them today. I see them on television. Oh, you haven't seen them?
Yeah.
On their body, they don't wear any clothes. Tattoos everywhere. Those are the prostitutes. Okay, you call them styles. Sorry. Those are prostitutes. And they are influencing the mind of young people. The information superhighway is actually witchcraft highway. It is the connection of mind. Is it not so? I'm talking now, Facebook and all those things. It's the mind connecting. And the devil is the organ of it. Even though, well, you say you want to use it, praise God, to be very careful that you are using it before you get sucked in. Okay, so there is a lot of practicalities to it. It's very clear where the mind has to take it. You know, so if you say you want independence, then you must change the lifestyle. Is there a Christian lifestyle? Is there a Christian dress? Is there a Christian way to marry your wife? Is there a Christian way to train your children? Is there a Christian way to eat? The Bible says when you go to Pupu, carry a paddle and cover it. Is there in the Bible? There's a Christian way to Pupu, brother. It's not in the Bible. When you go to Pupu to eat yourself. You have to say, take your paddle. Your paddle. Yes, a small shovel. So that you can cover it very well. But to go for it, not so. There, everything is clear. It's well prescribed. The way you live our life. Do we want freedom? So it is for us to choose. Choose ye this day where we are going to go. The Christian culture is very clear. The Christian culture must be very, very clear. You know, and right now we find everything has been modeled up. That is Dagon. That is Babylon. And the highest form of Babylon is the spiritual Babylon. Brother, say God told him that there is a spiritual spirit. Have you heard of it? A spiritual spirit. Where do you think the spiritual spirit will man? Is it in the outer court? Is it outside the outer court? Brother. It's going to be right. Those who are spiritual, that's where it will be operating. Why ought not to start? So what is this saying? That for me and you to overcome, I need discernment. I must be discerning.
Yeah.
I must be a discerning, you know, I must have that ability to divide between the precious and the bad. That's what makes you free. To be able to differentiate that which has been contaminated from. The Bible says that the priest must not have flat nose.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, look at Leviticus 22. A priest must not have flat nose. There is something he must have. He must have what? The Urim and the Thummim. You know what that means? When the priest comes, there must be something walking. There are two stones. He put it in the dress of the high priest. He calls it the light and the perfections of God. David came. He said, bring me the effort. Shall I go? Will I conquer? So if you go, they will catch you. The man dropped the effort and ran away. Because he was a priest. You know, this one now is not to go and buy any effort. This one is a nature. At the ability to hear from God, the ability to discern from God, to know what is precious and what is vile. And to be able to get that, it means there must be a consecration. He said, come out of her, my people, and I will receive you. Let me end with 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. So be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light and darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an angel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God.
Hallelujah.
And they shall be my people.
Amen.
Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Now, is it possible for somebody to say, God is my father, even when he has not made these conditions? Is it possible? Well, the Bible said that seven women will take hold of one man. They say, let us what? Answer your name. But we will eat our own bread. We will wear our own attire. We'll do what we want. Is it possible? For me, when I read it, I ask myself, where do I stand? It's not my brother, it's not my sister. I'm talking about myself. Where am I? Is my way acceptable to God? Am I walking in a deception? Because what you're saying is that there can be a deception where I think my ways are right.
Yes.
Where I think I'm bringing an acceptable offering. And actually, he says, depart from me, what? Ye workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. You know, so what God is saying is that there has to be a separation. I can be a temple of idols. Man is a house of spirits. Man was designed by God to be the dwelling place of spirits. Man, spirit, or spirit of God. But that house can be indwelled by unclean spirit. The church doesn't want to face that reality, but that is the truth. Jesus met that man, and the Bible says he had a legion of spirit. Oh, somebody said, oh no, he was a madman. He didn't wear clothes. Well, I'm seeing a lot of nakedness. So I don't know how you now define the madness. Sorry, don't be annoyed with me. Okay? But he said, wear no clothes. Alright? Now, this man was where? Among the tombs. Do you know so?
Yeah.
Was among the tombs. Now, when the man had been delivered of this spirit, where was the man? The Bible said that he was in his right mind.
Man.
So, what does this mean? There must be a spirit that produces
wrong mind.
A symmetry mind. A tone mind.
Yes.
That makes people not wear clothes.
Yes.
And to be vagrant. So no man could control them. That is independence. You know so? Nobody could control them. Nobody could bind him with anything. No one knew rules. Say anytime we are free. You share. Tomorrow I want to go to fellowship, I will go. And next time I'm not led by the Spirit of God. Even though they call it lead poisoning now. I stay in the house. Okay. Anyway, when I'm led, I do it. If I'm led to greet you, I greet you. If I'm not led to greet you, I stay. What is that? Okay, let poison. So there's no rule. No rule. Just I wear anything I want, I dress anywhere, I go anywhere I want, I do anything I want. It is the stone mentality. And it is a symptom of what? Legion. It is a symptom of legion. Sorry, I'm speaking like a doctor. Sorry, not symptom. It's a sign. Okay, I don't know what else to say. It shows you that there is a, it is an activity that is a result of spirit. Hallelujah. Brethren, let's not play church. You and I are contending with spirit.
Yeah.
When I am born into this world, I am born with a certain set of spirit. Spirit, they are designed by my father and my mother. As I am landing, they land with me.
Yes.
That is the basic spirit level. Then as the man is growing, the spirit activity begins to grow and they begin to break down the body. Sometimes the body is not fortunate. It has what they call congenital malformation. Right where inside the blood, they destroy the body. The cancer has started already. Yes. It's demon activity based on the transactions of the forefathers. Those spirits have authority over the body. You know so?
Yeah.
In some cases, the spirits are so bold that they appear to you. They say, I am your husband.
Yeah.
When you sleep, they are in your dreams. Yeah. You are talking to them. They are talking to spirits. They are talking to you. Am I talking?
Yeah.
That is, the man is seeing spirit and seeing you. Because the spirit has a certain measure of authority based on access. Or activity that has gone on. So man is surrounded with spirits. To think that this whole thing is there is innocent, there's not, it is, it just is not reality. It is, it's the dream life. The reality is that the activity of my life is controlled by spirit. Either the spirit of God or another spirit. If it is the spirit of God, they say I am in the spirit. If it is not the spirit of God, the Bible says I am in the flesh. The spirit, the soul of man must be ruled by a spirit. The soul of man is feminine. I must have a dominant spirit over it. That is the law. Man, I say he has made him a little lower than the angel. Man has 9 stones. The devil has 10 stones. He's 1 step ahead. And that's why the only solution is the soul has is that it must come into the order of Christ. The order of Christ grants you 3 additional stones. And then you have authority over the spirit. So it is a death sentence. It is a death sentence. And the devil is now vicious, brethren. The gate is very narrow. The boundaries are very narrow now. Because he knows he has a short time. By the way, sons of God are rising. I want you to believe that. The sons of God are rising. So don't think that everybody is going that way. No way. Some are breaking through. I didn't say sons of God have come. I'm only saying that they are rising. I want to be in that company. So there is a holy of holies church that is coming forth now. There is a people that are breaking through their veils. Through the flesh.
Hallelujah.
They are breaking down the barriers of nationality, barriers of tribe, barriers of family, barriers of self. These spirits that are there, they are discovering them. There are spirits that dwell in the emotions. They take life. When you get angry, they get life. Don't you understand?
Amen.
When you are walking in bitterness, you are giving their life. So they want to make you more bitter. They set you up. People come against you, say all kinds of things, you are bitter. And they are getting life. They are feeding on you. And the more they are feeding on you, they call them psychosomatic diseases. That is, diseases that come from the emotions. Brothers, isn't it?
Yeah.
There are diseases that come from, there are spirits. they are feeling strong and they begin to affect the body. But in Christ, we have the solution.
Amen.
In Christ, we have. And right now, the church is being ravaged. Why? Because the church is in darkness. The church has refused to move forward. So you and I must move forward. We must move forward. And in moving forward, is that every man must possess his possession.
Amen.
Every man must begin to, you know, deal with these things that are within. And the purpose of fellowship, brethren, is to equip you and equip me.
Mm-hmm.
You are supposed to provoke me and I provoke you. There is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is there and one will meet. Isn't that so? There's the Spirit of Christ that's functioning in you that is supposed to minister to the Christ in me, isn't also? That give life. That says deep calls unto thee, isn't also? So when I come, as we have come, if we stay together, if Christ has, if there's in the ministry, you will feel life. Because you have been endued, you have been edified. There is an addition that would have come to you. There is a strengthening that would have come to you. You have received more ability to crucify the flesh.
Amen.
Because they that are Christ must crucify the flesh.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says, when the Spirit begins to come into the soul, there are certain activities that bring the Spirit into the soul. What are those activities? When you begin to open your mind to the Spirit, and one of the things that opens the mind to the Spirit is the Word of God. When you set your mind on the Word of God, the Spirit of God starts flowing in you. Try it. Put on the Christian music. Immediately that song starts playing, you feel a flow. You feel the life of God flowing in you. Isn't that so? That is the life of God in your spirit. It's there. Then you come together, you just feel that life. But you see, you can get that life into your soul by bringing the mind and submitting it to the Spirit. Now, the part of the soul that communicates with the Spirit is the mind. That's the way God has made it. And that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What is it that knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God? You know so? I say, what is it that knows the mind of a man except the Spirit of man? You know so? So the Spirit of man and the Spirit of God, they are in fellowship. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God will take the things of God and will reveal it to us. So the Spirit of man and the mind of man are together and working together as a flow. So if you want the life of God, then you must bring your mind under the unction of the Spirit. But there are things that block the mind. And that's what Dagon does. That's the thing about Dagon. Images. There are images that block the mind. Things we read. Music that you hear. Things you see. Stories. You know? And the senses receive information that block the mind. And sexuality is one of the major instruments that blocks the mind. Unclean photographs, unclean communication, unclean interaction, they block the mind. So the life of God does not flow through. And those are the areas that we need to have the difference. These are the areas that we must give to God, that must be consecrated to God. So brethren, there's a practicality. And that practicality is that our priesthood must go beyond Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday. It must be a practical thing. That as I walk through life, I'm not just passive, but I'm active. Yeah. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Bible says, no man that worries entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You don't just enter the supermarket anyhow. Who
Don't you understand? The devil has planted somebody. One time when Libreville was going to one hotel, maybe we land there, but I'm going to be around them, half dressed. What is going on? So she has come to receive visitors. Half dressed. Ha. Please do not happen. If you are not sensitive, you are going to be in trouble. Don't you understand? But sometimes now it's even by even when you are going to fellowship, you might have some of those problems.
Yes.
Say amen now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
So Brian, okay, you want to say this right there, you say blood of Jesus. That's what I mean. Brian said blood of Jesus. Why you say blood of Jesus inside the church? Why is there the blood of Jesus inside the church? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't just walk around anyhow. You're a soldier.
Amen.
You must have a soldier mentality.
Amen.
Amen. So we should be on your tiptoe. Me and you are like, we must be on our tiptoe.
Mm.
So that as the thing is coming, there's a barrier. We are active.
Mm.
And we're able to deal with it and overcome. Hallelujah. I just feel I should stop at this point. I don't know. If there are Christians, I know Brother was to do something. I don't know how much time we have before we break, so I don't know what we want to do. Okay, question. Okay, so Brother says if there are any questions, we can take it. By the way, the things that I have said, question them, not just accept them. Put the question mark, go to God. And say, this is what they said. It's not a law. You can throw it away and say, don't mind him. It's a choice, is it not so? So question them. Don't accept it. Amen. I'm not making laws. I'm just sharing with you things that the Lord has given me. Yes.
Brother Joe, the mind is the connection to the spirit.
Yes.
And the scriptures say that it is the spirit of the mind.
Yes.
So can you talk about that connection, that the mind, how the mind connects to the spirit?
Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Because that, for me, that's the clearest and most explicit place in scripture that gives us that connection. So this is the mind. Okay, so let's come to me. All right, where is my mind? In my leg. Where is my mind? Is it in my leg? Okay, so I'll draw another picture here. So this will be my body. In brackets, my brain. Okay, so this will be my soul. This will be my soul. Now, we know the soul has four natures, isn't it also? The mind, the emotion, the desire, the will. Okay, so? Okay, so let's go to the brain. What do you find in the brain? You have chemicals that control your mood. Alright? When you open that curtain now, and you smell the chicken. What happens to you? Something happens to your senses. To your nose, is it not so? From the nose, something happens to your tongue. Something happens to your face. You begin to get excited. And then from the excitement, something happens in your tummy. Some noise. Then something happens to your leg. You start moving close to that. So is there a connection?
Yes.
Is there a connection?
Yes.
I am standing here. They just opened that place. And in 3 minutes, I'm near to the computer. I'm just like, what has happened? It's telling you that there is a connection between between my body and my senses. You know so? Okay, so there's the body and now it's here. Now, this thing, I have this, so you have the senses, the 5 senses, so this is hearing, this is eye, this is a taste, and this is smell. Okay? So each of these, they have the ability to affect the way I feel, because this is my emotion. I was feeling happy. This is my desire. I said I will go and eat, isn't it so? Then this is my will. I took that decision, and of course this is my mind. Okay, so this is the connection. Alright? Now the question is there any connection between my mind and the Spirit of God? Now, the soul has a spirit. God breathed into man, isn't it also? And man became a living soul. So there is a spirit. There is a human spirit. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit. You know so that we are the soul. So that is the Spirit of God. In other words, you have an interaction that goes down and then that also goes up. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, what is it that knows the things of a man except the spirit of man? Now, if man doesn't have a spirit, what is he? Just like an animal. You know so?
Yeah.
So the only thing that makes you of a higher dimension, higher nature, is the spirit that you have in you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is there. Now, the Spirit of God, the Bible says, knows the things of God. So that brings you us into an interface. The spirit of man and the spirit of God interface. Where there is a ministry of one. So the Spirit of God takes the things of God and reveals to the spirit of man. And that is passed down, administered to the different dimensions of the will. So that is the connection, that there is an influence of the spirit of man upon the soul, and then the spirit of God itself. So the divine order is spirit over the soul, over the body. But in the functioning, is the other way around. The body rules over the spirit, because sin has cancelled out the spirit of man. The spirit is there, but it's dormant. But when someone is born again, this spirit comes alive, and the person begins to relate to God. That's where you have the first knowledge that I am a Christian, and you begin to relate to God as Father. But the soul area is still unchanged. So where the church is now is that the fullness of God must come down into the soul.
Amen.
And that is the gospel of the kingdom. That is the gospel that we're preaching. And that's what God has called us, that this fullness that is in our spirit is about to come into the soul.
Amen.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he had the fullness of God in his spirit, in his soul, but not in his body.
Yeah.
His body was still mortal, and that's why he died. But when he rose from the dead, his body became flesh and bone. So that fullness came into his body.
Amen.
And the Bible says that we are the ones that follow him whithersoever he goes.
Amen.
So what the next breaking event in the church is that in a group of people, this fullness of God is coming.
Mm.
The kingdom of God is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be among those people.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is coming. Now, it's a personal choice. It's not a fellowship choice.
Hallelujah.
It has nothing to do with fellowship. And has everything to do with you as an individual. However, the environment in which you find yourself will help you.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
It may also be an obstacle for you.
Yes. Yes.
So, fellowship is to help us provoke one another.
Yes.
The purpose of fellowship is just like where is to give us this room so that we can hear the word of God. That's the end of fellowship. And to do the other logistics. But the essential work of the Spirit is that this fullness of God might come. So, if I am in my room
And the only thing I have in my room is sawdust. God will come there.
Amen.
We went to a village up in the mountains in Uganda, thatched house, no road. The only road there was, in fact, not even sheep, it was no road. We went there, thatched house. But the people were hungry for God. 3 hours, they are still drawing life from you. God came there, the power of God exploded there. It doesn't matter whether it's in London or in one remote village in Timbuktu. God is not interested. God is only looking for hearts. He is looking for songs. And wherever you are, God will come for you. If you have a right heart. So it's not the question of fellowship. I am in end time fellowship. I am in lower life fellowship. All those things are Old Testament matters. God is looking for a people. And the soul of the vision is that the fullness of God is coming into the soul. And the Bible says that when it comes there, that the body will be adopted, will be taken up into that glorious liberty of the sons of God. So that is the time event. And the time for this to take place is growing short. We are now in injury time. That's what the Bible is saying. And that is the prophetic word. So the Holy of Holies people are those who are coming into this experience. The Holy Place Church was a church that had the Holy Ghost in the Spirit. And now we are seeing the Pentecostal church has a crisis because there is no character. Holy Ghost is there, but brother is fighting with brother. Wife is fighting with husband because the soul area has not been changed. That is where we must come to. We ran away from it. God is bringing us back. We must face the issue. We must draw down the life of God into the realm of my soul. In other words, my character must change. My person must change. So it says, I must die daily. Isn't it also? And the more I die, the more the life of God is coming forth from within me. So that is the vision. You know, that is the vision, the way I understand it. Yes.
Please, can you throw more light on, it doesn't matter where you are, God can meet you anywhere.
Okay, well, that is a matter of switch.
What is the question?
Is that you throw more light on, it doesn't matter where you are. And it doesn't matter that God can meet you anywhere. Okay, so that's, well, I said that, and it needs to be qualified, I agree. I know I may run into trouble by making that statement. Well, the truth of the matter is that God is in the business of saving souls. That's number one. Wherever that soul is, God will go for that soul. That is basic. However, the environment in which you find yourself is very important. Okay, so I think that's the balance. It's very important. So if, for instance, God tells you as an individual, come out, then you remain, then it's disobedience.
Yeah.
Alright? So we're not saying you can go to anywhere and say, no, that's nothing. But the point is, even when you have obeyed God, your holiness is not in the place you are.
No.
Your holiness is in the life you live.
Yeah.
So we have to differentiate. It's not structure or platform. Okay, structure and platform is good because it gives you an environment. But that environment itself is not the holiness.
No.
It is your person. So God says, come out of Babylon. Of course you must come out of Babylon. You cannot stay. You know, you cannot stay there and say, well, God says I should stay. Because there's a place where you stay, if you have a man over you, then there's a wrong spirit that will come to you. And the Bible says, do not lay hands on any man suddenly. You know, so if you're in a one man setting or in the pastor setting, that obviously will not bring a right environment for you. You need the environment of the body of Christ where there's a corporate and plural structure, and then you can flourish. So I'm taking that for granted when I made that statement, that we already understand that there should be a coming out. You know, but even when we have come out, we must maintain the right balance. Yeah. Okay, Brother Tony.
Praise the Lord. I just like to make an observation. I guess after the observation, maybe you clarify. It says Satan has 10 stones. and man had nine. I guess what that said is I think what you meant, because I think that God hasn't given any of the things he made more than nine stones. So what I see in that portion of scripture, Isaiah 14, is that he had nine stones and he had gold as the nature of God.
Ezekiel 28.
Ezekiel
28.
Ezekiel 28. So just the point of observation, I don't know if you have anything to say, but as far as I understand, none of the creatures of God has received more than nine stones.
Well, the Psalm 9, Psalm 8 says that you have made man a little lower than the angel. Okay, so, well, for whatever it is, the Bible says he has made man. Man is of a lower nature now than the angels. That's my understanding, but maybe others, well, it's for the house.
Correct.
You know, so that's my understanding, that man is of a lower nature than angels, but it's a peripheral issue. You know, so it's not, I don't think that's my understanding. Others, there are other ministries there, so they can chip in. But my understanding is that man is of a lower spiritual energy than angels, of which by fallen angels for now, but in Christ man goes above. So that's what the scripture teaches generally. Also, technicality of the stones in Isaiah and those ones, I don't think we should split heads over it, but when you look at other scriptures that say the same thing, like for instance in Hebrews, he says that to which of the angels said he,
Thou art
My son, and today have I begun. Like he has made the angels as ministering spirits. Mm-hmm. And that inheritance is in Christ. It's because we are created to function in Christ. That's how we have that nature. So, yes.
There's a lot of reactions in one church. And there are quite a lot of years in one denomination. So when I came here, come out of this. Then some people are saying, come out of Babylon. Then what?
Don't worry, I'll repeat the question. She's gone. Go on.
Many years
when in the but when I came over, I began to come out of Babylon. Then I said, what is Babylon? So I don't know whether you can enlighten.
Okay, enlightening, okay. So she Mama is asking that she doesn't know what you mean by come out of Babylon, that I should enlighten her.
That what is Babylon?
Okay.
From background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I should answer it because that would take another. But just to make it short, Babylon was a natural place in history. And you see that in Genesis 11. Okay. The man that built Babylon first was a man called Nimrod, who started all the occult religion. And he was worshipped as God, as the son of the heavens. He was the son, he was represented by worship as the son. So that's why you have all the sun worship. Okay, and he married his mother. And eventually you had the mother and child worship. So that is and you find it in every culture. Alright, so the Roman Catholic people only adopted it. You know, it didn't start with them. You know, it began from the Baal time. So, and that religion is a traditional religion in every culture. In the English place where we are, they were Baal people. They are head hunters. They cut heads and display it in their houses. And that is the resistance we have in the spirit is because of the blood that has been shed in the land. It has defiled the land, you know. So and that's why it's difficult to break through, you know. So that is it. So and then it came down as a system of religion and was adopted by the Catholic Church and has eventually spread all over the world. the richest people in the world today are the Catholic people, Jesuits. And right now, they don't want to hide anymore. The Pope is a Jesuit. So he has been put there to, you know, for a particular thing. And that tells me why they short time. Because now they have taken over. They are the most educated, the most articulate set of people that you have. They, you know, they control the policies in America, in the United, all over the world. The Jesuits are in control. Now, but see, this spirit is also in the... there's a spiritual part of it. And that is where you have man ruling in the things of God. Man taking the position of God in the heart of men, and having an organized system. You know. So God is saying, come out of the organized system of worship. The worship of God should be spontaneous. It should be by the Spirit. And it should be something, you know, that's why, you know, it's a body thing. Christ is the head. Okay, like you said, it should be initiated by God. You know, I'm trying to condense it. I'm not very good at condensing things. You know, so there are very good books on Babylon, which you can read to understand what it is. So God said, come out of her, my people, and do not touch the unclean thing. You know, so anything, any system of man in the church is Babylon. Whether it's dressing, I talk about dressing, I have an apology. Whether it is in the lifestyle, or in music, in education, for instance, in any sphere of life, you know, they have mixed up Christ with religion. You know, and you have a situation of rebellion where the women are rising up. You know, so you have women pastors today, women elders, women heads of churches. When the Bible says the husband of one man, of one wife, is the elder. So the woman can't even be an elder, yet she's the head of a church. That's rebellion, and that is Babylon. So God said, come out of it. So it has to do, there are so many aspects. Where a woman begins to rule her home, it's rebellion, it's witchcraft and sorcery. And God said, come out of it. Okay, and God said that the sin of disobedience is like, you know, so even me as a person, when I'm walking in disobedience, then that itself is a form of Babylon. God said, come out of it. So there's a spiritual part, and there is a natural part of it. There is a political aspect. There's a economic Babylon. It is, the church must overcome it.
Amen.
Yeah. And that used to be our strong point. Now we have lost it. Because we have lost our consecration. So God is calling the church back to consecration. We need to come back to that place where we are consecrated. Where we give ourselves, where we separate ourselves completely from the world. You know, and that is, that's where the strength is. A man who is consecrated has strength with God and is approved of God. You know, so that is my understanding of it.
Can I just add a little thing? Can I just say something with regards to Babylon? Of a necessity, the Bible says that we know in part. So, because our understanding in Christ is growing, we see Babylon clearer every day as we draw closer to the Lord. And Babylon has gone away from in just the history. The history has mixed up with culture and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult now to list for us all the things that constitute Babylon. So what we have now as our anchor to come out of Babylon is the Spirit of God in you.
Amen.
It says in Romans 8, it says, if you are in peace, it says, ye are no longer in the flesh, if you have the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but you live in the body. The scripture is saying you are no longer in the flesh, but you are living in the body. You are in the body before the Spirit came into you. But it says once you receive the Spirit, you are no longer in the flesh. Then he turns to you and gives you a responsibility. So if you are no longer in the flesh, but now in the Spirit, then you walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
So he says, there is now no more condemnation. Now, no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh,
Amen.
But after the Spirit.
Amen.
So you have the Spirit of God in you, so you are no longer in the flesh. But there is a potential to walk in the flesh. And there is a need for grace to walk in the Spirit. So even though you are no longer in the flesh, but the Spirit of Christ is dwelling in you, you can be walking in the flesh and be walking in the realms of condemnation. So the only thing that brings justification to you is when you obey the voice of the Spirit. And because Babylon has become such a mystery, complicated, started before we were born, beyond our mind, the only way of escape out of Babylon is the Spirit. So we learn to walk in the Spirit. This is what we come to learn when we come to church. We come to receive illumination for our minds to recognize the Spirit every time He's trying to reach to us. Whether it's coming across to me through a brother, or whether it's coming to me through even the voice of an unbeliever, a sign on the street, you are looking for the Spirit constantly. And when you take an action, say a word, or do something, that you suddenly realize you've missed the Spirit, you repent immediately. Amen.
Amen.
That is our deliverance.
Amen.
We, through Bible study and teaching, we will have some guidelines, guidance, to illuminate the mind, so that grace can come in, so that we can consciously reject the ones that we can reject. Amen.
Amen.
But there's a lot more you cannot separate. Therefore, you must consciously, through prayer and fasting, and waiting on the Lord, learn the unction of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God will teach you how He speaks to you, and that is your singular seal. The Bible calls it seal.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
This is our security from Babylon. We cannot come out completely all and know it and come out consciously.
Amen.
I pray that God will help us.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Any more? You said something about a woman that is not under a man has no coverage, or no one cannot see over her home. She has no husband. Now it both has a physical and spiritual implication. Now when you spoke of it, you spoke about the spiritual as well, the physical aspect of women being in sort of power in the church sort of thing. Now a woman that has no husband, what would you mean? I mean, she has children to look after. What should you place her in her home? What is her position in her home? Is she the head of her home in that position? A woman that has no husband at that time. What position is she in her home?
The
scriptures are clear. You know, the scriptures are clear. I do not belong to the people. The Paul says, that make any allowance for the flesh. You know, flesh must die. You know, and any allowance for the flesh, for me, is compromise. You know, so the scriptures are very clear. An elder is the husband of one wife. That is it. So a woman cannot be the husband of one wife. So a woman cannot be an elder. So what is the role of the woman? The man cannot function without his wife. Alright, so the woman is a mother in the church. So that's the role that she can play. Alright. You know, but see, there are cultural situations in which you find that the women are strong. So in practice, the woman can be beating up the husband. So if the man would only be staying in the church, what the woman has told her to stay in the house. Practically. So what happens? So you find a situation where the woman is overlying the church. It's what the woman agrees that the husband goes to do. So in other words, the woman is at the back monitoring and manipulating and controlling the church. It is happening in Zion. Hallelujah. So, I'm asking you a question. I'm asking, you know, when you ask a question, I answer by the Spirit. You ask a question, but I'm listening to God and I'm answering by the Spirit.
Yeah. So that is the situation. And the Bible calls that rebellion. Okay? And it is the spirit of Jezebel. You understand? Now, there is something the devil is doing in the church, or done in the world. Okay? And that is to come against marriages. Okay? And destroy it. Because the marriage is a reflection of the union between Christ and the body. So the devil hates marriage. And is coming against marriage. And the position of the church is to stand and strengthen marriages. That's the job of the church, to strengthen marriages. Alright? So, in that kind of situation, the covering of a sister who is in that kind of position is very clear. The church has to bring that covering in Christ. So, if the brethren are walking in the spirit, then they can bring that covering that is not there physically. So, there's a covering for that. And the situation where you come to a fellowship, the people who are spiritual are the women. But you see, the women who are spiritual will, if they're sensitive, they will withdraw and in a way allow the men to rise, to take, do what they should do. So also in your home. So those are very sensitive positions where the spiritual woman, the godly woman, draws back and pushes her husband forward. So also in the fellowship where there are no strong brothers, the women who are there initially will gradually withdraw, and then the men. So those are dynamics of fellowship, you know, that they should be, you know. And the women who are godly, they recognize that, and you will find out that gradually they will pull back and let, you know. So there's a covering by the church in such situations. But as for authority and leadership, it's very clear. The elder is the husband of one wife. And the husband is joined to his wife. But in functioning, then that balance has to be there. You know, that the woman makes sure she doesn't overlie the husband and therefore overlie the church. You know, so because that itself will be a situation of rebellion.
In her own home.
I've answered you, yes. Even when you are married, even when the woman has a husband, she should seek counsel from the church. Both herself and the husband should seek counsel. If they are doing something, you know, you should seek counsel from the church. How much more when she is in that kind of condition, then she will function with the church, will be there to provide the covering. That's what the church is there for. Yes. So, as individual, we should seek counsel from the church. But there are situations that make it more pronounced, and that is part of what you mentioned. Like the church. Yes, sir.
You know, I'll start from the Babylon question. See, because the scriptures must be discerned spiritually. You know, when the Lord gave the Babylon for the promised land, the river of Babylon, or river of was to the top, and the river of Egypt to the bottom, and the promised land was in between. And that speaks of things, because if you remember, during the transfiguration, Moses appeared, and Elijah appeared. Babylon speaks of Baal worship, and one of the things that happened in the time of Elijah was that he dealt with Baal worship. And Baal worship is today is the worship of the God of this world in whatever expression. So when your church or group or fellowship is subject to the ways of this world, that church is Babylon. That group is Babylon.
That's right.
And that is, you know, because what they are worshipping is Baal, is the God of this world. So when a church is only telling you about prosperity, finances, and all those things, that's the things, the natural things that you can see. Baal talks about the things you can see, the things you can touch, what you want, That's the God of this world.
Right.
So when people say, admonish you as brother and sister, come out of Babylon, all they are saying is, come out of that thing that is only focusing your attention on the natural. So it could be anything. It could even be your own house fellowship.
That's right.
That,
right.
You know, the leaders have stopped to look into the spirit and are now focused on the natural.
That's right.
Amen.
So that is what it means to come out of Babylon.
That's right.
So it may be the Catholic, the Baptist, whatever.
Amen.
Now, when the instructions we are now giving, back to the story of the woman, about the church in the New Testament. You see, those scriptures, one of the challenges that we have as the church of this time is that just like the people in the Old Testament had a veil over their face concerning the things that are written, the modern day church, the church of this time, we have a veil when we read the New Testament. When we read Revelations and all those things, we don't understand it. You know, because when the Bible says, for example, the woman shall be saved through childbearing, does that mean that a woman that doesn't bear a child will not be saved? Of course, that's not what it means. So, it must be understood spiritually. So, in the case of the husband of one wife, it's part of what the brother has been sharing today. Because in Revelation it says, you allow your woman, Jezebel, to prophesy. The original is your woman, your soul. So when you are allowing the soul to operate as an elder, that is what he's talking about. You know, because a woman may not just be a single woman, she could be a widow. So if she's walking in the spirit, if she's walking and she's being ruled by the spirit, she would know what to do. You see, one of the challenges we also have is that, you see, when we talk about the tabernacle, we always start from the beginning. We should always start from where you were today, from the Ark of the Covenant. You see, because the Ark of the Covenant, one of the things that Ark speaks about is brokenness. It talks about the fact that it is the mercy seat.
Yes, yes.
It's called the mercy seat. It's the seat, it's the center of mercy. It's the place of brokenness. You see, when we share with brethren, we tell them the ultimate of God is mercy. Mercy and truth. And then you start walking your way back. So a sister who is a single mother, who understands that she has to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, she has to walk in humility, she has to walk in love, in gentleness, in long suffering, she will not get to the point where she's trying to strive with anybody.
Amen.
You know, that we must always start from where we're going. The challenge they had in the wilderness is that they did not understand where they were going. So they were always looking back to Egypt. But we must always start from that fullness where God is calling us. You know, our Lord, who is the one seated on the throne. The Bible says the Lamb is on the throne. So the nature you must have, I must have, is the nature of the Lamb all the time. So if I'm a single mother and I have the nature of the Lamb, there's no way I'm going to go into church and I would, you know, go against my elders. If I'm a married woman and I have the nature of the Lamb, there's no way I will rebel against my husband. You know, our brother did say, we do make allowance so much for the flesh, for the natural thing. But what we should always tell brethren is that, look, this is the standard. Christ was a lamb led to the slaughter. He did not utter his mouth. He is our prototype. If we want to attain unto Christ, we must have that same nature of the Lamb. So, a single mother, a single father, if you are ruled by the Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ, that Christ Spirit that you shared with us today, you will know the divine order is the work of the Spirit. The Bible talks about saying, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is the divine order. And that is it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, any questions, clarifications? Yes.
Can I ask a very mundane question?
Yes.
For some of us, some of our young Santamambo. Now, you haven't dealt with the place of the cross and the grave. There, can you just, in that scenario, can you just
I explained it that I was not going to that I wanted to talk about the whole list of God because there's still going to be another ministry that was going to address the tabernacle as it is. However, the cross, as we know, it is much more, it encompasses the whole of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Now, the first experience, the first place I think the soul comes to is the brazen altar, is the place of judgment. That is the place, okay, because the right is the foot of the cross. That is the place where sin is judged. The sin life is judged. And that is where the blood, that is where the sacrifice. So there God makes a covenant with you, a covenant of life. So that is the first experience. You begin the journey. It doesn't end the journey. So for those who are young, that is the place you come and you make a first experience with God. Of course, if you are not born again, all the things we are saying, you can't even talk of it. So I didn't lay much emphasis because that was not my burden. I believe when we come back,
Can I make a little comment on that?
Yes.
I think that the whole of the tabernacle is a cross.
Yeah.
If you even look at the arrangement of the items, it forms a cross from the brazen altar right to the Ark of the Covenant, and then the table of shewbread on this side, and it's a cross.
Yes.
So the operation of God in life of believer is through the cross. There is no other way. It is a cross from the beginning, dying from the beginning. The death that we're talking about is the death of the cross. So if the cross life is not working in a believer, he cannot make one progress. There is a cross that brings the natural man to death. And it is the whole of the tabernacle, the entirety of, you know, demolishing Adam. You understand that? And bringing the life of Christ, you know, into full expression. So any time the tabernacle is preached, it's actually the message of the cross. The whole entirety of the tabernacle is cross. You know, Jesus sat at the cross, he said, it is finished. He sat on the throne, he said, it is done. From the point of it is finished to the point of it is done is the walking of the cross. When Paul said, I die daily, he said, if any man wants to follow me, Jesus said, let him pick up his cross. From the beginning is the cross. And the cross terminates in death. It doesn't have any other destination. It is death. So I'm just trying to say this. Any time you hear tabernacle, tabernacle is actually the message of the cross. This is what the church has actually, you know, missed completely. There is no other way the old man will die. It's by crucifixion. Nothing else puts him to death. It is the cross that continues to, you understand, as we embrace the cross, we find that there's a death walking in us. And as that death walks in us, life also comes out. That is the fruit of it. Praise God.
Yes, let's see.
I'd like to make an observation and perhaps a question. You talked about, you used an expression spontaneity when you were talking about when we gather together. I'd like to know what was the essence of this meeting? Because this is a gathering of the house of God, of the church. But I've been here yesterday and today, and spontaneity has not been encouraged. I've heard songs in the midst of the congregation, and I've heard the people restrain themselves. It is as if there is an order and a pattern for this meeting, and I really don't understand. Is this the purpose of this meeting, that we sit down and listen to ministry, and we do not have the spontaneous worship that Christ has been teaching us?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to the question. So, if anybody has the answer to the question, you can ask. Yes. Praise the Lord.
I will seek your indulgence in a certain way. Praise the Lord. One of the important things that believers ought to know is that they are accountable to who? Who are we accountable to? Whose spirit are we called unto? Who is responsible for our relationship today? Who is it? Who are we serving? Who do we worship? Whose spirit do we have? Whose spirit do we express? Praise the Lord. And one of the constraints that we may have is the constraints of the mind, not the liberty that comes from the spirit. He said, where the spirit is, there is what? And therefore, brethren, I don't want to focus attention on the organizers of the meeting so that we don't misplace things. Let us focus attention to who? To ourselves, to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And therefore, if the Spirit is one, as the Scripture says, as we've been hearing, and He gives you unction to minister, to serve, to offer whatever it is you want to offer, remember you are responding to who?
God.
For who?
Yourself.
Praise the Lord. And therefore what you receive is not for you to consume for yourself. It's for the benefit of the body of Christ. See not? And we know for a truth there is only one body. Only one body. Only one spirit. Now let us conduct ourselves with that understanding of that freedom. It does not mean that it becomes unruly. Praise the Lord. It just means that we apply the understanding we have regarding the spirit of the person we serve to be able to encourage one another, to be able to minister to one another, to be able to support one another. So if you have an unction, I don't think, that's why I said I don't want to heap any burden on the organizers of the conference, you know, so that people don't see as if a brother or a system or people are restraining any person. That is not the truth of the gospel. Unless somebody can disagree with me, but that's not the truth of the gospel. So please, brethren, the way I understand it, the way I feel, the way I sense it, I don't think there is that pressure for you, eat your leg, my God, to deliver anything for the body in this setting that you're under constraint, unless somebody would disagree with that. Praise the Lord. So please, I don't think you should feel hindered in any form or shape. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, I just want to comment on that because we have been the ones. So I wanted this conference organized by Luton, the brethren in Luton, and it's for the body. And the people who have ministered there are from the body. So, and different people have said we have this, and they have been given. They'll be given opportunity. So if someone has something like he has said, there should be freedom to express it. However, the Bible says that everything should be done in order and decently. And of course, when you are doing something, you should be open to correction. So there is room for correction. Even as whatever I'm doing, I'm open to correction. So if you have something, you bring it in that spirit, and you should also leave room for correction because there will be correction. So that is that he has said. So as you bring ministry, we will learn. You know, you may not be able to bring it correctly. The correction will come. But I mean, I think we have been free. You know, and we are encouraged to be free. Praise God.